He Said, She Said, or Technically Speaking and Simply Put. Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
That didn't sound too bad.
No, it was pretty not too bad today for a wintry day.
And it is a winter day, isn't it?
No kidding. Snowing in
Vancouver.
Probably
not nearly as bad as what's going on in the rest of Canada.
Ooh, 40 below.
So all you people out there in winter wonderland, think of us here in Vancouver. The skies are clear. The sun is shining and it's warm, warm, warm.
Only minus one today and it's lots of snow, so that's not too bad. It won't last. It'll only last for another day or so.
Yeah, but here in Vancouver, people freak.
I know.
And they're driving all over the place and doing things they shouldn't do.
Yeah.
So, what's cooking?
Oh, boy. You know, there's absolutely nothing new cooking, Corey. And, you know, I keep trying to think of something new to come up with, some new food ideas for the SNU. But you know what? You and I eat pretty much the same way all the time. It's a routine, and we rotate our foods. Salad and protein or fruit and protein. Unless we've invited someone for dinner, I'll put a little bit more energy into it and use a few more ingredients. So, Corey, I decided to continue to discuss the Athlete's Cookbook and to get our listeners to really grasp the concepts of this routine meal planning. As you know, I rotate. We have like five salads and five different proteins that we have, and I rotate them each week. But we do the same thing every week. So there's nothing really new that I do. So I'm just going to start off with the Athlete's Cookbook, and I'm going to start at the very beginning, and that's a good place to start, don't you think?
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah. So, right? Because you keep asking me, so what are you cooking today? What are you cooking for the SNU? And I'm saying,
well, they say
recipe?
The variety is the spice of gluttony, right? And
yes.
Smorgasbords are probably the worst place to send someone to if they want to try and get lean. Because
right.
A lot of people like to dabble in everything on the table.
That's me.
Which is probably the worst way to eat.
Yes, I know.
The monopolistic version of diet means that with the native aboriginal kind of theme.
Monopolistic. I've never heard that word
before.
Yeah,
it's an idea where there's incredible simplicity and single-mindedness or a focus where you don't have a lot of variety.
Oh, but that sounds just like me.
Well, the best way to train is to withstand the monotony of doing the same thing over and over and over again, but increasing the load, increasing the intensity, and varying the training. But basically, the rhythm, the pace is pretty much the same.
Right, yes.
And the monotony is what most people can't stand. But you have to be able to stand the monotony. And when it comes to good eating, a lot of people say, well, how can you stand eating the same way all the time? I say, I love to be well.
But it's flavorful. It's flavorful
it's
food.
It's incredibly flavorful.
And the
I
thing
love
is,
the foods that I eat.
You are getting benefits from the monotony, though. That's the point. The monotonous means, I don't know if
you're... But that's because we see the connection between the monotony and the rewards. A lot of people don't get that.
Exactly. Because monotonous means the same thing day in, day out, and really not getting any excitement in your life.
Well, look at a typical bodybuilder who eats like chicken breast six times a day and has some brown rice and a little bit of vegetable with each plate.
Yeah, but that's short term, though. They're not doing that.
No, but a lot of people who live bodybuilding as a lifestyle eat that.
They don't.
Well, not a lot. But,
no.
But many of them do. The hardcore
yes.
ones
yeah.
that look ripped and muscular year-round, a lot of them are taking drugs.
I don't know
drugs.
Any bleeding bodybuilder that is ripped and muscular all year-round.
Well,
I don't know any.
Some of the competitive
except you.
Athletes.
Except you.
Right, at the very highest level. They're on a circuit. And they're in Europe, and then they're in the States, and then they're...
All right, then, if you say so.
Well, no, but there is a monotony. Like, say, the Olympic athlete, like throwing the hammer or the shot put, the skill training is very monotonous.
Right, but there's a goal at the end of it, though. That's
absolutely.
The point. So they see that. So
and a lot of
mind.
People don't have a goal when it comes
right.
with their personal life, so
yes.
they can't stand the monotony of eating the way that you're promoting.
Exactly.
So get into it, baby.
Okay. Well, basically, the introduction of the Athlete's Cookbook is pretty much talking about my ailments that I used to have, which I know that out there in SNU land... A lot of people probably have the same sort of ailments that I had. I was a professional ballroom and Latin dancer, and I competed professionally for Canada and trained. And I also taught many, many, many dancing lessons. Plus, I took ballet, jazz, choreography, and I had to sell programs and that sort of thing. So I was pretty much on 24/7. You know, I was super lean and I was a respected champion in the field, but I suffered from constipation, mental fatigue, yeast infections, bladder infections, bronchitis, and debilitating migraine headaches.
Lovely.
But I looked good, though. I looked good. That was the whole point.
Well, that's what it's all about, isn't it?
I guess.
Forget about how you feel inside. It's just about how you look. Isn't that the society we live in?
Mm-hmm. So back then, I never drank water. Can you imagine competing and working as hard as I did and not drinking water?
Hello, everyone in the gym, they don't drink water.
And I never ate raw food. I lived on fast food, high in refined carbohydrates and fat, which then I didn't know were refined carbohydrates and fat. I had no idea. I just wanted to get filled up, and I just thought food was food. I had no idea that food quality was so important, and I never associated my diet with my health problems.
You thought being refined was being an aristocrat.
Yes, I did. And I thought my health problems were genetic. At least that's what I was led to believe. On the outside, my appearance was glamorous and I performed extremely well, but on the inside, I was tired, physically worn out, and mentally burnt out. I just couldn't concentrate because we have to do the monotony of the daily routine and doing routines over and over and over again. And when you're teaching dancing, it's like the rote memory system to teach your students. You have to do the same thing over and over again until they get it, and then you move on. I couldn't cope with the stress and the pressure, so I decided to retire, and I was only 24 years old, and I forfeited my status. So then I met you, la-di-da, at 30 years old, and what happened?
Hell broke loose.
You said, now listen to this, these words, if it goes in soft, it comes out hard. And, you know, the light bulb really went off for me because mushy hamburgers, mushy mashed potatoes and gravy and mushy food because it was just too hard to chew. So I really got the connection.
You know what's bizarre?
What?
The average bowel movement in Canada, in a Canadian, weighs about 100 grams and it's hard as a rock and it sinks to the bottom.
Yikes.
Where in maybe a rural area like Africa, the average bowel movement by weight is 1 kilogram. And it's soft, and it's appropriate in relation to the amount of crude, fibrous food that they consume and how physically active they are.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy in Africa, physician Dennis Briquette, he actually quantified health based on weight of stool. Can you believe that?
Yeah, I'm getting a vision of it right now, honey.
The first thing you said was constipation.
Yeah.
Remember we were talking the other day about people that think they're regular?
Yes.
They say, I'm regular. Yeah, you have a bowel movement once every 5 days.
That was me. That was me.
Incredible.
And I was sluggish. I was miserable. And I just kept on eating. But now it's just not like that anymore. And the hemorrhoids, I don't know how people live with hemorrhoids. You know, now if I was to fall off the wagon and not do what I'm supposed to do, then I'm going to have these ailments. So these man-made diseases that I had was all because I was exercising, yes, and I was taking vitamins, yes, but I wasn't drinking the water. I was extremely dehydrated. I couldn't sweat. And can you imagine dancing and teaching and not sweating? I was sticky, but I wouldn't sweat. So it was pretty painful existence that I had.
It's like natural selection. We adapt.
But I looked good, you know, but not on the
And also, you were quite young, right? So it shows how the human body at a fairly young age can take a lot of abuse and not show the abuse yet.
Show the abuse,
it comes
yes.
out later on in life.
Right, but I couldn't continue to do what I was doing. So,
and we're dealing with a lot of people later on in their lives who are grasping for straws, dying and suffocating when it comes to their health.
So nutrition is a science, and I now realize that food can heal the body or act as a poison. What a revelation that is, dear. Never underestimate these wise words. Let food be your medicine, and medicine be your food. So, you know, what we do is not a trend, it's not a fad, it's not a diet, it's just a healthy lifestyle. And I just really cannot stress enough water. Water is a saving grace.
30 milliliters per kilogram of your lean mass. And
you don't need to drink anything else.
It's crucial.
Unless it's red wine.
And there's no big money in that. You know, when a physician prescribes that technique,
right.
There's no big money in from a pharmaceutical point of view,
mm-hmm.
but it's by far more powerful than any drug they could prescribe.
Now, I had to train myself to drink water because I never drank water. What did I drink? I don't know what I drank. I wasn't ever a big pop drinker. I drank tea. I was a tea granny, but I didn't put sugar in my tea, but I did have milk in my tea and milkshakes. Oh, that was great. But, you know, I had to train myself to drink water. So I would drink like 500 mils, you know, one of these little bottles. And then I would put it on the, in the, on the fridge, and then I'd drink 2 500 mils, then 3. Now today I line them up. I have like 6 or 8 of them that I do every day, and I line them up, and I always judge how much I drink. I know exactly how much water I drink every single day. So when you're training, you need at least 1 liter to 1.5 liter to 2 liters, depending on how hard you're training. And also during the day, you should need to drink another 1 liter to 2 liters a day. You don't need to drink really anything else. Maybe a good strong cup of coffee in the morning and your protein shakes. That goes without saying, but you'll find that...
And the big one for me, too, is in the car. For those people out there who spend a lot of time in the car, make sure that you've got a couple of water bottles in your car that are fully loaded all the time.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And because you can just reach for that water and sip on it, especially if you're a sales rep spending a lot of time in your car, you have got to consume water because you're losing an incredible amount.
And when you first wake up in the morning, the first thing you do, and people just go, yuck, I can't imagine this, but you're all dehydrated, you're acidic, wake up and get yourself a nice 6 or 8 ounce glass of water and knock that back. And you'll be surprised. In literally seconds, you will become more awake. Your eyes will open. Anytime you feel a little headache coming on, anytime that you feel dehydrated, even before you feel dehydrated, you're already dehydrated. So just drink that water, knock it back, embrace water. The solution to pollution is dilution.
All right. Okay. So that was great as an intro on the book. And I think we're just going to continue going through the book.
Yes.
With each
yes.
one of our SNUs.
Yes.
And for those of you who want maybe to buy the book or get more information on the book,
it's www.oceansidepublishing.com. Ocean is O-C-E-A-N, side, S-I-D-E. IDEpublishing.com.
They are our publishers, and this book is available if you're a retailer to sell to consumers. And of course, it's book 3 of our new 10 book series. Okay, so moving on, let's talk about our last month's special guest.
Last month's special guest was Jim McMahon. He's the CEO of PVL Nutritionals. I really enjoyed his conversation.
Jim is a good guy.
Jim has a very clear way of getting his point across, plus I think he has a really nice tone of voice. All around, I really did enjoy his interview, and I really got a lot out of it, and I'm going to use some of his little terms and terminology that he used. He's also a consultant to the BC Lions and an advisor to many high-ranking bodybuilders. And what really stood out for me was that he really speaks on qualifying protein and nutrition for recovery. He really emphasizes nutrition for recovery to his athletes.
That's a big one.
It is a big one.
And I also like the fact that he says, look in the mirror. You know, he used that reference many times when it comes to anyone thinking about going into business for themselves, or just basically in life when it comes down to whatever it is that you're dealing with. Look in the mirror and be true to yourself.
Right.
Huge.
And if you do want to open up your own business in anything that you do, most of the time you're buying yourself a job, but you're going to be so excited about it, you're going to have to spend every waking hour, day in, day out,
and
that's
passion.
Okay.
You've got to be passionate. You've got to believe in it. It's got to be real. It's got to
right.
come from the inside
You've got to
out.
Love it. You've got to love it because you're really going to have to spend a lot of time in whatever industry that you choose to go into if you want to buy your own business. So
absolutely. So thanks to Jim McMahon
for
that excellent interview.
Thank you, Jim.
Now, who is our next month's special guest?
Next month's special guest is Mr. Dean Parks. Dean has been involved in the natural products industry for about the past 30 years. He's worked in all facets of the natural health business, retail, distribution, and manufacturing. Dean is an advisor to the industry and puts on retail training seminars across Canada and helps educate retailers with his monthly free-range retail e-letter, which I get. Which I quite like.
Yeah, it's a good e-newsletter.
Dean has a passion for bringing the message of living the natural health lifestyle to the public and is actively involved in supporting industry spokespeople through public lectures across Canada. So we really look forward to that interview.
That's going to be a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's an excellent review of what's coming and what has been. What is your hot topic?
My hot topic is running ragged. Running ragged? There's a TV show on that we watched the other night called 10 Years Younger. It was housewives who looked older than they were and how this professional group will survey 100 people and ask them how old they think this woman is. And the group's job is to make this ragged housewife look 10 years younger than the suggested age. Do you remember that?
Yeah, and it was non-invasive. It wasn't a function of...
It wasn't extreme makeover. There was no surgery.
It was just makeup. And
makeup,
clothing,
hair, laser.
Just the way that you present yourself.
Facial.
And there was some physical exercise brought in as well,
right,
some relaxation techniques.
Nothing about nutrition, though. Isn't that funny? And I jumped on that one.
No, society doesn't understand the impact of nutrition.
Yeah.
They just don't get it.
Right. So anyway, running ragged is something that really gets me, is mothers who don't take enough time for themselves and believe that their children would suffer deeply if they did take time for themselves. It's a great attribute, though, I believe, to be a loving and nurturing mother. Yet how efficient can a woman be if she's run ragged?
Well, this particular woman that was interviewed, she was not happy. She was not a happy camper. So, she's devoting her life to her children, but she's not happy.
No.
So how does that affect your relationship with her husband? How does that affect your self-esteem? How does it affect her overall health in particular?
Well, what happens, and didn't we just watch a movie called In the Bedroom with Sissy Spacek, and the son got murdered, you know, whatever happened. And the husband and wife had absolutely no relationship.
Zero.
After the son died.
Everything was hinged or based on the kid.
Exactly. So you still...
So they're left with the... reality of the fact that they really don't have an ideal relationship.
They forget their relationship.
How many people, I wonder, stay in a relationship because of the kids?
You'd be surprised.
It's unbelievable.
And you know what? It's not doing the kids any favors.
No, living lie doesn't do anyone any favors.
Because then the children learn not to trust. If they find they fall in love with somebody,
they get resentful.
They don't believe that this person can really love them.
Maybe there's a lot of anger or tension that builds up.
So I might get a lot of flack for this, but I believe that children come into our life. It's a balance, and we talked about that last SNU, about all the different facets like a diamond, which we need to work on. I often wonder if some women really enjoy their children, or they feel it's a burden on them, and they tend to become resentful. Having children is an investment, and it is like putting money in the bank. You want to nurture your children and look after your children, but the only way that you can get the most out of your children is by getting the most out of yourself. You need to take time for yourself, because the kids see this. Then there's the opposite, where there's a mother who spends all the time on herself and doesn't look after her kids and has the nanny and, you know.
Again, you're out of balance.
No, yeah, exactly. And then the children are just begging for your attention.
But charity starts at home. And home is you, your body, your life.
Yes.
So look after yourself first. Be good to yourself. You know what? That role model is so incredibly important, especially after the kids go through the teenage years. And everything that you've done and how you've lived is going to start affecting the decisions they're making as adults. Even though it seemed as if they left the home and decided not to listen to you, or, you know, sort of emotionally they rejected everything that you believed in, what I've seen is that they do come back to it, because out of necessity they have to.
Well, they mature and they really start to understand.
And what they see,
they get the gist of,
when they're sitting down in your home having dinner, what they see is what they get.
Another thing that I think is very important is to sit down, if you possibly can, and have a meal together at dinner time. We've done it forever.
I love
since
it.
We've
it's
been
great.
Together. Yeah.
We communicate.
6:30 every night. And maybe on the weekends.
Talk about life and meaningful things.
Yeah.
How many people out there are actually sitting down with their family and having a meal for a couple of hours?
Right. Well, not a couple of hours even. I mean, but the point is to sit down, have a meal together, and everybody's sitting there using their napkin. I'm very fussy about table manners. I mean, if they can't do it in the home, how are they going to do it out there? So I think it's very important that they try different types of foods. And the spinach salad the other night, we had all the kids over for dinner. And I don't like spinach. I said, well, you have to try this. So I made that awesome spinach salad.
Everyone absolutely loved
it. And then all of a sudden, Daisy says, oh, I really like this spinach. So sometimes we're a little presumptuous in the things that we don't like to eat. But this is the only time that she ever would have tried it. She sat down at our house and tried it.
So I think she was incredibly hungry, too.
Yeah, it's
that helps.
Yeah, it's a good time to experiment with different foods with your family. It's a good time to talk about what's going on in school with them. It's a good time for them to see the mother and the father discussing their lives together. And always, always your children should say thank you for the meal. Like, I think you and your blinking manners. Well, I think it's important. I think it's really, really important that they are thankful. And that they get up from the table and they assist cleaning the table. It's just a matter of everybody pitching
in. It's training. It's discipline. It's teaching. It's setting a standard. It's modeling.
God,
absolutely,
I agree. Sound like a wicked old woman, don't I? No, but I mean, if it's really for the best. And when the kids do go out on their own, we've been told many, many times that they really do have really great manners. So that makes me feel better, right?
You can't do what you don't know.
Yes.
Right?
But we show by example, too, right?
Ultimately, that's what it comes down to in many ways. Yes, it's true. You can set the most perfect example and still they will reject it.
Yes.
But generally speaking, as an adage or proverb, children live what they learn and they learn what they live.
Without being mean, though. It's like the other day, the twins that I look after, my brother-in-law, Robbie and Lisa's, they're twins. They got a little out of control. That was the first time for me they got a little out of control. So I had to actually raise my voice. Shall we say I had to yell at them? But it's what I said to them when I had to yell, because that was the only way they were going to listen to me, because they were totally out of control. So it was what I said. I said, Auntie Tracy loves you. Don't you talk to Auntie Tracy like that. I wasn't being mean to them. So I think what you say has a lot to do with it,
How you say it also.
Exactly.
And your motive.
Yes.
What are you trying to achieve? You can't allow yourself to be stepped on.
Right.
But you shouldn't step on other people.
So a woman who is run ragged with her kids, doing everything for them, taking them to the lessons and taking to the piano lessons and driving them back and forth to school. This woman is run ragged. Now, let's say she has one of the kids didn't do what she wanted. So she yells at the children and she says things that she's really going to regret and it makes her feel bad. So I think if you're feeling really clear and you feel good with yourself and you've had your workout and you're eating right and you take time for yourself, you will really watch what you say as a parent.
Absolutely. So ladies, keep that in mind. Make yourself number one.
That's right.
And your children, by invitation, will learn by your example how to stay well and how to think clearly about things that are really important.
I couldn't have said that better myself.
So that was a great hot topic, dear. What is your final word?
My final word is one that I've done before, but again, I'm going to do the rote memory system. I'm going to keep on keeping on. My final word is a Sanskrit proverb. Yesterday is but a dream. Tomorrow is but a vision. But today, well lived, makes every yesterday a dream of happiness and every tomorrow a vision of hope. Look well, therefore, to this day.